Welcome to the Church Awakened podcast, where you get real talk for real church. We are bringing the Great Awakening to the American church and sharing biblical truth to expose false narratives and remove hindrances to effective biblical discipleship. The next great harvest of souls is happening now, so get ready to be the Church Awakened.
Hello, I'm Merrill.
And I'm Russell.
And we are the hosts of the Church Awakened podcast. Each week, we bring you practical, scriptural insight focused on a particular area of church life and ministry.
Evidence-based truth about world events, and additional resources to awaken and equip you for the next great harvest.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Church Awakened podcast. I'm Merrill, and Russell is not with me today. And this was just kind of an off-the-cuff episode that I wanted to do. as many of you know, June 24th, I believe it was, that the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and basically pushing the decision about how to handle abortion back down to the states where it belongs. A lot of people are under the misconception that they banned abortion, they made abortion illegal. No, they did not. This is what the mainstream media, all the protesters would want you to think. Excuse me, but no, they just solved a constitutional crisis where they took an unconstitutional law and they did away with it, and they pushed that decision for that issue down to the states. Well, what I want to talk to you today about is the church's response, the modern American church's response to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. What I've seen versus what it should look like. All right. And I'm a little bit fired up about this today. This past Sunday, yesterday, we went to church, and the pastor did not even address the issue. Occasionally, at churches, what they'll do is they'll have somebody, a member of the staff or somebody, will get up in front of the church and give some announcements and say a few things, and then the pastor will come up and begin preaching. Well, that's what they did this time regarding the Roe versus Wade. They had another gentleman come up in front of the church, and this is not a small church. This is a very good-sized, well-known church in my community, okay? But this gentleman got up there, and he mentioned it, and you know what the response was from the people sitting in the pews? And there was plenty of them. The response? Not even a standing ovation. A little bit of clapping. And there were a lot of people in the audience who didn't even clap. So it was a little disturbing. All right. Do you realize, pastors out there, church members, what just happened in our nation? For 50 years, our country has been slaughtering its children for the sake of sexual freedom. That just ended almost immediately in at least 28 states that have what's called trigger laws, where laws on the books that said if Roe versus Wade was ever overturned, these laws would kick in these states, making abortion illegal. And that's what happened. And in an instant, when that decision came down, abortion clinics all over the United States began shutting down. I even heard that there were women in the waiting room of these abortion clinics that their appointments were canceled and they were sent back out the door. Now, of course, we feel for women in that situation, thinking that's their only option. And, you know, we love them and we feel for them. And we want them to know that it's not their only option. But do you realize that in almost an instant, hundreds, if not thousands, of unborn lives were spared? That is huge. That is the equivalent of, from my perspective, That's the equivalent of Israel coming out of slavery from Egypt and crossing the Red Sea. Okay? We just saw hundreds of thousands of babies' lives spared. And those babies are going to live now because Roe v. Wade was overturned, because righteousness was respected. And pastors, you need to understand, church members, you need to understand, this overturning of Roe v. Wade was not something the Supreme Court did. It wasn't something that Donald Trump did. All right, this is something that God did. And if you cannot celebrate something that God did and talk about it in your churches and call your church members to rejoice over something that God did, then I don't know what to say. I'm just at a loss for words. I'm at a loss for words. The response that I would expect from a pastor, if it was my church, if I was a pastor of the church, what I would do is, with tears in my eyes, I would get up to that pulpit and I would explain to the church members what just happened in our nation. After we've been killing millions and millions of babies every year for the sake of convenience, it just stopped and lives were spared by the thousands, and into the future, hundreds of thousands, millions of lives of the next generation have just been saved. And I would call my people to stand on their feet and lift their hands to the God of heaven and thank him with weeping and tears in their hearts and in their eyes, expressing gratitude for God's amazing answer to decades of prayer that has gone up to him. You know, back when the 2020 elections happened, I was at a prayer meeting at another local church, and God, through me, gave a prophetic word, and he said that he's coming for the children. This is a move of God. And pastors, you need to see that. You need to respect it. You need to rejoice in it, and you need to show some passion for what God is doing in the earth. Because this is not a small little thing just to give a little clap for and move on to the next service. I think the worship team got a better round of applause than the saving of millions of children's lives did. The only thing I can think of why a pastor would not address this issue and not express emotion and passion over this in front of his congregation is, number one, you've simply lost your passion. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We should despise evil. We should expose evil. We should be passionate for holiness and righteousness in our land. So it seems to me like there are a lot of pastors, they've just lost their passion. They get up each week. They want to be talked well about. They want to come across as a nice, loving, funny guy with a good sense of humor that knows how to put together witty biblical messages and share them. Hopefully it helps a marriage problem, helps an addiction problem, helps a parenting problem. But where is the passion? The Apostle Paul, in our first episode, we said that Paul said, I've not ceased for 3 years to warn you night and day with tears. When was the last time you saw your pastor with tears in his eyes while he preached his message to you? So passionate and desperate for people to change, for people to experience God. Pastors, you've lost your passion. Or number two, you've bought into culture and you've caved to the political pressure of being politically correct. You don't want to cause waves. You don't want to stir up trouble. You don't want to get into anything controversial because of how it might make you look. Okay? The gentleman at our church that we went to this Sunday who got up and talked about it, he mentioned, yes, it's a good thing that Roe v. Wade was overturned, but he had to say But there are other people that don't necessarily share this same view, and this is our chance to be tolerant of them and show the love of Jesus and the grace of God to them. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, we should be gracious and loving to everybody. But you can speak the truth with passion and love and conviction and sternness at the same time. The Bible, first Timothy says that the scripture is used to correct and instruct in righteousness, to rebuke, to exhort, to use the word. And sometimes people need that. If you've got people, Pastor, sitting in your church who condone and support abortion as a woman's right, you need to say, hey, if you can't rejoice over the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the saving of children's lives, there is something wrong with your faith. And you need to check yourself, like Paul said, to see whether you're even in the faith. I was so disappointed and angered to see people in a Christian church, a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, that did not even clap or respond to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Pastors, this shows you, that right there shows you how much culture is impacting your church. Now, thankfully, it looked like it was a majority of people that at least clapped, but not a standing ovation. But there was more concern, it seemed like, for those people that we don't want to offend because they might be abortion supporters. Are you kidding me? Are we afraid, pastors, to call right right and wrong wrong? What I would have said, if I was the pastor, I would have looked at them and said, if you cannot rejoice at the saving of lives of these children that are made in the image of God, you need to find a new church because this is not the place for you. Pastors, that's what you need to start doing. It is time to stop letting unrighteousness feel comfortable sitting in your church. So stop giving in to the culture and the political correctness and the desire to be liked. All right. The Bible says, yeah, Paul does tell Timothy that an elder should be respected outside the church and have a good reputation. But Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. All right. The people outside the church should respect you, but they don't have to like you. They should respect you because you're not a hypocrite. You live what you believe. So they have to respect you for that. And you have a good reputation for that. Not because you don't say anything controversial. Not because you don't address the issues of our culture. So pastors, what I would recommend, if you really want to honor God, the creator of all that is, and the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to honor him, get your church to celebrate what just happened and get some passion back in yourself. So now that I got that out, pastors, we love you, but we're here to move you. We're here to stir you. We're here to make the church better. And you've got to call out these issues. So that is it for this episode. Thanks for joining us at the Church Awakened Podcast.
You've been listening to Real Talk for Real Church. Now go share what you've learned with others. Seek God diligently about your role in the great harvest and be the Church Awakened.